Welcome to the Jeremy Mullins podcast, where we take a deep dive into different educational topics to help you perform your best and optimally in life. I'm here today with my co-host, Mr. Reno.
Good morning.
We are at it early this morning, cranking it out. And today's, topic is going to be carbohydrate. And I know when I work with a lot of other coaches and coaching the coach, I always like to say when you're doing education or you're doing a social media post, sometimes the intent of your audience is lost in the education or lost in the communication, right? And I think it's really important for, today when I'm speaking on carbohydrate, I'm not necessarily going to talk too much of it in a fat loss or a reduced caloric state, as much as what is the data, what is the research showing us in carbohydrate recommendation to optimize performance for athletes, right? And remember, the definition of an athlete, can be a collegiate athlete, it could be a pro athlete, or for a lot of our listeners, it's an everyday person, but they're training for a half marathon, they're training for a marathon, they want to perform optimally. And I think, that taking a look at that can clear up a lot of stuff that's out there, help people understand that, carbohydrate is not necessarily bad, because I think there is a lot of fear in carbohydrate, especially in the fat loss community or fat loss world.
Yeah. There's not enough emphasis, or I guess there is a lot of emphasis put on carbs, but it's one of those that you can easily overlook and either overdo it or underdo it pretty quickly. So I think today's one is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, if we step back and looked at just the overview of carbohydrate in, the American diet, I would say yes. The average American diet, people are overeating processed carbohydrate, right? We are overeating the simple carbohydrates, which is causing, a lot of the issues that we have today. Like, it's causing a lot of, high insulin levels or increase in, prediabetes, diabetes, insulin resistance, because we're overeating the simple processed carbohydrates. But it doesn't make carbohydrate bad. And that's very important to understand. Okay. And you don't have to cut them completely out. I think that's a big, thing that we see a lot of times, inside of nutrition. And we touched a little bit on this, kind of in a recent call with our guest, Maddie, where people get emotionally attached to certain diets or certain exercise programs. So when someone does a zero carb or very low carb diet in the past and it works well for them, then they get that emotional attachment that in order to have success, I need to be zero carbs or super low carb.
Yeah. I find myself in that category sometimes. I do enjoy the keto bread, but I have to remind myself that not every single meal, every single thing needs to be this keto low carb thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say, like, especially if we're working with someone who is insulin resistant, pre-diabetic, diabetic, we do want to find a carbohydrate load that works for them, right? And the average person who is, their daily activity kind of remains the same, their exercise kind of remains the same day in, day out, then yes, that carbohydrate load will stay the same. But when we start working with athletes who have different seasons and different requirements as far as volume of their training, intensity of their training, then that carbohydrate load could vary cycle to cycle, right? Could vary month to month based on how much output you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So remember, at the end of the day, carbohydrate is a fuel source in the body. It is the primary fuel source for our higher intensity training. So when our heart rate gets up in training, we are using, primary carbohydrate for fuel. And the analogy I like to use for a lot of times is, if you think about it, like gasoline in your car, that's our fuel system, right? So if we're going to travel from Kentucky to, Florida, we're going to need to put more gas in the car than if we're going to travel from Kentucky to West Virginia. Right. It's just, that's the reality. There's a longer trip, more output from the vehicle to go from Kentucky to Florida versus Kentucky to West Virginia. Okay. So it's the same way when we're exercising a lot, and the more training that you're doing, then the more fuels you're going to need, the more carbohydrate and the more fat you're going to need. But specifically, a lot of times, if we're saying more training volume for a sport or for an activity such as a marathon, then you're going to be training in the modality that's going to require more carbohydrate. Okay. Now you could use some fat in there too, depending on the type of training, but today's podcast is on carbohydrate, not necessarily fat. Right. So I want people to understand that.
And so I know we're not going to touch on fat, but just on the carb side, if you're running or biking or doing something like a that type of event compared to Olympic lifting or CrossFit, is the carbs going to differ in the amount compared to higher or lower?
Yeah, and it really depends on the intensity, right? So you say we're not going to talk about fat, but we could, right? Because I would probably increase fat in someone's diet a little bit more in that endurance athlete that you were talking about than say a CrossFitter or Olympic lifter, right? Because yes, while we are increasing volume generally in a heart rate zone that's going to cause the individual to need more carbohydrate, they're also increasing volume in the heart rate zone that would need more fat. So you probably would increase fat, more inside of, say, someone training for a marathon versus someone training for CrossFit Games or the regionals or the open, right? So that's just something to kind of keep in mind, from that aspect. But when we look at, carbohydrate, and this is going to be a generic, recommendation that's very broad, but an intake of 3 to 10 grams of carbohydrate per kilogram is what is recommended. And I know that's very broad, right? 3 grams up to 10 grams per kilogram. So that gives a pretty big range there on, okay, well, how much carbohydrate do we need? And, I would like to preface this, like I'm speaking more to someone who is at goal weight versus someone that's still on their fat loss journey. Okay. And your protein requirement would still remain the same here. So I would never probably set someone up with their carbohydrate first. I would probably still set someone up that is training for endurance with the optimal amount of protein first, then look at how much carbohydrate they would need for training. And it's also the data for our ultra endurance athletes goes up to 12 grams a kilogram per day. So it's a pretty big range when we look at it, 3 grams up to 12 grams per kilogram as far as carbohydrate goes. But once again, it's all going to be dictated based on the load of training and based on the intensity of the training.
I don't want to speak for anyone else, but as far as like when they come in to see you or start working with you as their coach, I don't have trouble hitting my fats and carbs ever. It's usually dialing it back. So is that something you commonly see? Like
Well,
that's why we're working on protein first, is because like you'll never have a trouble hitting those others.
yeah, I mean, most of the time, if we look at fat loss specifically, right? And it's a little bit different because when I get into the recommendations later, we're going to speak a little bit to specific sports. So I'm hoping to get some of those listeners that, once again, fat loss is not their ultimate goal. Like they come across the podcast and because someone's good talking about it, maybe they're an endurance runner, a cyclist, whatever the case may be, that they don't need to lose weight, and these recommendations and making sure that they fuel enough carbohydrate matter, right? But yes, the average person that comes to me that is the 20, 40, 60, 80 pounds overweight, they're overweight because they're consuming too much carbohydrate and too much fat. Because remember, those are our fuel sources. And when you overeat those, they're going to be stored as body fat. So protein is still great in this equation of we've got to set protein first, then look at our fuel systems. Okay. Now, what I generally do, and I'll get to these a little bit more specific recommendations later. Let's say I'm working with someone and, they've got 100 pounds to lose, and we're 60 pounds in this journey. So we've already lost 60 pounds in the journey, and things are going well, and they get the itch, right? Do you know what the itch is, Reno? Or are you looking at me kind of funny?
No, I got the itch. Yeah, no, we're good.
Not, no, not your itch, the itch.
The itch.
Oh,
No,
yeah. The itch to do that. I think it might be my first dad joke. I'm sorry. Someone since said I wasn't doing enough dad jokes. All right. So I'm gonna try to work a few more of those in. And unfortunately, you're probably gonna be
I'll be the guinea pig.
the one that gets them. But what we want to do is, and I do this from a standpoint of like trying to get people motivated because the scale, while in the beginning of a journey, is a great motivating factor. They see it coming down, they're focused on it. But I want that client eventually to look at something physical, right? And I love endurance sports from the standpoint of they reflect life a lot. And what I mean by that is in an endurance sport, you have to just keep like left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. It is mental, it is tough, right? And I think it builds a lot of mental resilience when I take someone out and they train them for a half marathon, train them for an Ironman, train them for something that's a big event that takes effort and time, right? But the issue that will come in is, let's say I've got someone on 2200 calorie diet, they're consuming, 240 grams of protein and they're losing weight, right? But now inside their training, their running is starting to get up above an hour, right? So now the problem is we're starting to do a lot more training, which I need to support from a nutritional aspect, but we still have this goal that we still need to lose 40 pounds, right? And that's where I want you guys to understand these recommendations will vary a little bit, because I don't want to give this person, even though they're training for a marathon, so I put them in the marathon running, I don't want to give them 8 to 10 grams of carbohydrate per kilogram. I don't want to give them that much, right? Because I still have the goal of fat loss with them. Mm-hmm. So what I'll start doing there is on the days that they're going to train over an hour, I'll start working in, 40, 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour during their training, up to 90 grams. And we'll touch on that a little bit here in a minute on the, what is the research of what our bodies can absorb during an endurance event or endurance training. So keep that in mind. Like if you're on your fat loss journey, I wouldn't just, when I throw these recommendations out today, you're not just going to go change to that. You want to keep the baseline nutrition that you've been doing, then look to fuel during the training if that training is over an hour.
Do you find the athletes that kind of come into the program, they struggle mentally or in the beginning when you do either raise or lower their calories because they're used to that? They're thinking that they're going to get this training program, but then you touch on their nutrition. Do they kind of get?
Well, I mean, I think for me, a lot of times, whether it's in the Guard, in the Army, that working with, tactical soldiers, or if I do have an athlete that comes to me, I think it's not too big of a quote left turn or unexpected, since I am a dietitian first, right? And then, probably a strength coach and programmer second. So I don't see too much of that. But I will say a lot of times it is eye-opening for the athlete to pay that much attention to nutrition, right? Because they've just been an athlete and it's just been training and that's been what they look at, right? And sometimes they just won't consume enough carbohydrate because they haven't put as much time and effort into knowing, when the timing of the carbohydrate will matter during that event.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good, I love that question. So one of the things we want to look at, if we just talk about the research, and I'm just going to kind of read this from my notes, right? They looked at, research for consuming carbohydrate during, training, right? And what this study looked at was when subjects consumed a sports drink with fructose and glucose, which we'll touch on that down the road or touch on that a little bit. Like when you consume fructose and glucose together, the rate of absorption is better versus just doing, say, a glucose or just a fructose solution in that sports drink. So looking for a sports drink that actually has, a mixture of fructose plus glucose is optimal in my opinion. It improved their endurance cycling performance and completing a performance test nearly 3.5 minutes faster on average than those that consume a sports drink that contain just glucose, right? So right there, just by changing from just a glucose solution in a sports drink or one sugar combination in a sports drink to a multi-sugar combination with fructose, improved performance 3.5 minutes. Right.
Oh, that's, man, that's crazy. Yeah,
that's significant, right? In the standpoint, if we're looking at it in sport, right? But we're all human. We all like to be a little faster, right? Listen, I'm slow. For the listeners that don't know me personally, like, hopefully we get into, I'm training for Ironman Florida this year. It'll be the second time I've done Ironman Florida. It'll be the fifth Ironman that I've done. But I go to do and finish these events. But part of me still wants to improve, right? Mm. And if I can dial some of this stuff in, right, from a sports nutrition standpoint and dial my training in, then I can improve, even though I'm not up there with the pro athletes. But if you're talking about pro athletes, 3.5 minutes is a big difference.
And I mean, I'm trying to, if a marathon, like marathon runners year over year try to improve in like the 1 to 2 seconds, under 10 seconds category year over year, if you improve 3.5 minutes, I mean, you're talking going from like 10th, 12th, 15th, 20th to first.
Yeah. Or just feeling better. If we're just talking with the average person that goes and runs a marathon.
Yeah. Average person. Yeah.
Like I want you to be able to go back to work on Monday and feel okay.
Right.
Versus just being, beat down and depleted. And if you guys have ever done, endurance running or any endurance in sports, like hitting the wall from the secondary of not consuming enough food, it is terrible. Like it puts you in a bad, bad spot. And then the second part of that study was just, they found that the mean power output throughout the performance test on the cycling machine was higher when they consumed glucose and fructose, right? Because you just got more fuel. So that's something, you know, to note that we'll get on, you know, in that the research a little bit later. You know, you can consume up to 90 grams of carbohydrate per hour during your training or during racing if it's a mixture of a glucose solution with a fructose solution. So fructose has to be, you know, in that equation when it comes to that.
So I'm not the like healthiest by any means, but so is that so a lot of these, the new sports drinks that are trying to come out are like alternative sports drinks where they're super healthy and they're like three ingredients, five ingredients. That's why you see a lot of these still bigger institutions, bigger races, still bringing in the Gatorades and the other things because of those products. Is that?
Yeah. And you can, you know, it is trial and error, right? I'll tell people that all the time. It's trial and error what you want to do. It's just, you know, hey, you take a look at the back of the label, see what the ingredients are on it, you know, on your carbohydrate solution, on the carbohydrate drink. So what the combination is, if it's a combination, and then make that choice, right? You know, so, and it doesn't mean, because you could also look at this. If you fueled with just glucose over water, there's still going to be an increase in performance, right? So we're not downing that sports drink that has just one, you know, carbohydrate in it. You would want two for optimal performance, but just fueling water and not fueling any would be the quote, worst choice that you could make.
Right. Do you want to kind of touch on where the gels come into place, those carb gels, or?
Well, the gels are going to be the same as the drink, and it's up to a personal preference when it comes to that. If you would prefer to do a gel with water, you know, as your carbohydrate solution, for lack of better terms, you're more than welcome to do that, right? I like to drink my carbohydrate because not only am I getting my fluid in with that, you know, I'm not having to do, you know, solid food. But it will vary depending on your sport. Some people like to do solid food, especially if you're getting into some of the endurance, you know, ultra endurance events where you're out there for, you know, a super long time. But typically, like inside of Ironman, of course, you know, you're not eating in the water, right? Like the goal is to stay alive in the water. But generally when I'll come out of that, you know, I'll drink a drink in transition. And then I primarily just drink on the bike, right? So I'm just filling up my bottle of water. I'm keeping my hydration up. I am drinking from that standpoint. I'm not a solid food person. I don't like to have a solid food when I'm doing events. Now, once again, depends on how long. Sometimes, like if I hit the wall, which I've done on some of the Ironman, where it's down to just what we call the, you know, the shuffle, the dead man shuffle, where you're walking to finish, then yes, I'll eat some solid food, you know, from that standpoint. But typically if I'm able, you know, to still put together a good walk run on that Ironman, you know, I'm doing maybe a little bit of pretzels as solid food. And I do change to Coca-Cola at mile 20 to get the caffeine in, you know. So once again, it's just a personal preference. So going back to your question, if someone wants to use a gel, 100%, you know, go for it. But the education still remains the same. Look for a gel that has the combination of fructose and glucose in it versus just one.
Yeah. And in college, in our like team rooms, or even when we're at the events, it's kind of across the board. So it's awesome hearing you say this. They would always bring out a lot of just liquid style products to provide energy to the athletes in all the events across the board, from basketball, baseball, even in golf. So it's definitely not a new thing.
Yeah. And once again, I think it's truly a personal preference to the individual. Yeah. Try it and see, you know, what you like, whether you like and you could do combinations. It's not like it has to be just, you know, a carbohydrate solution or just a gel. You could do a combination, mm-hmm. right? But you would look for, once again, that goes to my recommendations coming out of when I was talking about fat loss and maintaining the base macros and then adding in that 40 to 60 grams of carbs per hour. Is, you know, once again, if you do a single carbohydrate, you can, with no issues, digest and absorb about 40 grams of carbohydrate. To get up to the 90 grams per hour, you would need to add the fructose in there with the glucose. So that's what the information is telling us at this time from the research. Okay. So that's why I like to add in, you know, from the standpoint when I say, okay, hey, my fat loss clients, when you're still on your fat loss journey, you will just add in the carbohydrate during your training. Right. So on that day that you're doing an hour and a half, 2 hour run, then you get the additional carbohydrate on top of your baseline macros just on the run, but you're not going to add in the extra the day before, the day after, and things like that, because that's where unfortunately sometimes people start, I'm training for a marathon now, and then they start consuming too many overall calories again, and they'll stop their fat loss journey, or unfortunately sometimes gain that weight back.
Okay. And then my kind of final question, when you do have these athletes coming in and you're introducing these new methods, what's a simple way to implement the introducing these different carbs, and then how do you find which one works best for you? What's the kind of timeline?
I mean, what I always tell people, especially if they've already got a baseline, I have to build the trust, right? If I'm bringing an athlete in and they're already a pretty good athlete, you know, I get it. Like, it's going to be hard for them to trust me. Okay. Especially in the endurance world, right? Like, I'm 5'8", 200 some pounds. I'm not built like an endurance athlete. So, you know, it'd be a little bit different in the powerlifting world, you know, because, okay, people go in like, oh, okay, you're fairly strong, I'm going to listen to you. But in the endurance world, it's kind of like, hey man, you're running, you know, 10 minute miles. but one thing at a time. And I think that's a great rule for any adjustments, you know, that we do. It's like, hey, let's try one thing. So it might be coming in just changing their, you know, the different type of gel or different type of solution drink that they're doing. It may be just changing the type of it. So maybe they're doing the right amount during their training. So maybe we'll just change the brand, change the type of fuel that they're using. And we'll just, you know, kind of make one change at a time. That way we know what's wrong or what goes wrong or what makes us feel better versus changing multiple things.
Awesome.
So a couple of things I do want to point out just to give references, you know, so if you look at, okay, what are the, Jeremy, you gave us a range early, 3, you know, up to 12 grams per kilogram, you know, what's the difference there? When you start looking at ultra distant, you know, athletes running, cycling, swimming, or triathlons, anything like that, that's where you're going to get up to the 8 to 12 grams per kilogram, right? The higher end of that. And that is in the high volume training, right? So that wouldn't be in their off season. That would be in when they're high volume, high intensity, you know, training for that matter, versus like basketball, you know, tennis, you know, hockey, soccer, even football, something like that. It might be more the 6 to 8. You know, grams per kilogram as far as training goes, season goes, and then maybe the 8 to 10, you know, on game day or multiple sessions in a row, right? And then we get on down to like your sport, golf.
Athlete.
Or even baseball or softball, because once again, like, yes, they're sports 100%, right? But it's more, you know, I would say those are really skilled sports, right? So it's not like you're swinging a golf ball or a golf club consistently, right? Like, you're not swinging it and then someone's putting it down there, and you're swinging it and someone's putting it down there, right? Versus some of the other sports where it's a continuous movement. Then it's more like 5 to 7 grams of carbohydrate per day, right? So just remember there's that big broad recommendation, you know, 3 grams per kilogram up to the 12 grams. And that is going to be dictated on the type of sport, whether they're in season, how much high intensity training we're doing, and what is the volume of that high intensity training.
Awesome.
A couple other things to just point out, you know, that we have it, and we touched on this a little bit. You know, your endurance competitors, you know, can work up to the 90 grams carbohydrate per hour. From the standpoint of making sure that fructose is in there. And then the other sports, you know, you could play around with a 30 to the 60 range, right? And that's where I do with most of my lifestyle clients that are dropping body fat, that have decided to train for a half marathon or marathon. You know, we'll slowly work in, you know, some carbohydrate during their training on top of their macros. And I know I've said that multiple times, but I just know we have a lot of listeners that are on their weight loss journey right now. So I just want to make sure that's clear. They understand that it's just when you get over an hour of training, right, that's when you'll start adding in those carbohydrate during the training to support that specific workout for that day.
Yep. And a great benchmark is, of course, small plug, Summit Rejuvenation Clinics. If you want that baseline, that's that initial numbers. You do have a free consultation with them. They can work with you. They'll work with a local lab near you and get your blood work just to get a local baseline. And then you start implementing these training tactics during your performance seasons or your seasons, whatever you're in. And then you can go get another blood work done and see kind of how you have improved.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a great point, because we've had a lot of listeners, you know, emailed, you know, just because, you know, you're not quote experienced like me, or a little bit older, doesn't mean that you can't take advantage of the blood work that Summit does, right? So you could have that baseline done, you know, that way you've got your blood work there, you know what your levels are, so that as you're monitoring your health throughout life, you have that baseline. You know, and for some people, it might be a decade down the road before they decide to do, you know, a replacement as far as hormone goes. So that's a very good point. And then the last teaching point today, you know, is carbohydrate, you know, in the post-workout session. And, you know, I know we talked about the importance of post protein inside of the ISSN position paper podcast that we did, and why the endurance athlete still wants protein in the post-workout setting. As we get into carbohydrate, right? In endurance sports, carbohydrate becomes important too, to make sure that we're maximizing the muscle glycogen storage. Now, as long as you're hitting those recommendations for the day, you're still going to recover, but it does make a difference, in my opinion, to go ahead and have some carbohydrate in that post-workout setting. Okay. Now, data will say that, you know, that for athletes needing maximum rate of muscle glycogen synthesis. Okay. So athletes needing maximum rate, right? Probably not fitting my lifestyle people with this statement, needs up to 1 to 1.2 grams per kilogram of carbohydrate, you know, after training, you know, so that's, you know, pretty significant. Yeah. I mean, you know, so if you look at me, you know, man, I have to do the math real quick on kilograms. So what, I'm 100. So 210 right now divided by 2.2. Yes, I'm 95 kilograms. You know, so that, let's just call it, you know, 100 kilograms, keep our math easy. You know, I'm going to shoot for 100 grams of carbohydrate post-training. And that may sound like a lot, especially for my lifestyle people right now. But if I'm to the point where I'm training on my mountain bike, you know, 3-4 hours every single day, then 100 grams of carbohydrate, once again, fits into these recommendations that we were talking about. Okay. So, and I would say for my lifestyle people, you know, what I would do there is maybe, you know, 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 ratio, you know, where you're consuming 40 grams of carbohydrate plus your 40 grams of protein, maybe working it up to 80 grams of carbs and 40 grams of protein, depending on what you're training for and what the intensity and volume of that training day is.
All good thoughts. Yep.
Yep. Love it, guys. This is just something, you know, once again, I wanted to do, and try to bring more education that is specific on what the books and the research is, you know, saying, but also make sure that you understand the intent behind it, who I'm speaking to, right? Because by no means, if you're on your fat loss journey, do I want you consuming 10 grams of carbohydrate per kilogram, right? Just because you're training for a marathon. Reach out, we'll make sure that you've gotten the right amount of fuels in there so that you can perform, you know, in your marathon, right? So you can complete it, mark it off the bucket list, whatever the case is, but still ultimately achieve that fat loss goal that you're working on.
And we do have another partner. So if you're looking to kind of boost your financial wellness, you can also get a free consultation with GreenUp Wealth Management in the link below.
Awesome, guys. Hope you enjoyed today. As always, if you have any topics you would like us to see, send them over. We have a few in the pipeline that we're working on. Appreciate your time, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
See you.